Do you know what time it is? I think so. From the sunshine, white sand beaches, palm trees, and pina coladas. From the coast of the Gulf of Mexico in the Tampa Bay area, this is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday, the 12th of June, 2017. Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman, and I think I have a co-host tonight.
Yes.
But we'll have to see if she's there.
I am here. Greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I am co-producer and co-host TK Weeks. And actually, Mr. Skogman is not calling from the white sand beaches of Tampa Bay. I believe he is in Georgia right now.
Yes, tonight is a special edition of Spectrum 360. It is a remote and studio program. I am remote, on location, out of the state of Florida, in the state of Georgia, currently traveling back from the People's Summit Conference, which was conducted this last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that was June 9, 10, and 11 in Chicago, Illinois, at McCormick Place. It was the People's Summit, and I'm en route traveling back to the Tampa Bay area. I haven't completed the trip yet, and I'm not back in the state of Florida yet, but I will be in the next several hours. So I am on location remote, calling in. I'm calling it in, as they say. And then co-host TK Week is in the studio. So she's the studio co-host tonight. I'm the remote host tonight. So that's the program as we're doing it technically. Now, what's the content? Well, segment one is the news summaries we often do in Spectrum 360. We will try to summarize some of the news events from the last week from the headlines all across the world. And then segment two, the future events calendar. And then segment three. Segment three will be a special segment of Spectrum 360. We are going to do a review of the People's Summit Conference. That'll be live in studio and out of studio with myself and co-host TK Weeks. The Spectrum 360 staff, both of us, were at the People's Summit this last weekend. So we were there in person. We've been posting still photographs and videos and texts from the event. And we'll be discussing that in depth in the last segment of the program. So it's an all-live program tonight. No pre-recorded segments, as we sometimes do in this program. That is what the program is going to consist of tonight. Spectrum 360 radio program is copyright 2017 by Mark Skogman, and copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast is authorized and encouraged. And remember to like us on Facebook at Spectrum 360 radio program. And also, we are on Twitter at Spectrum underscore 360. You can find us there on Twitter. And we'll be adding more social media feeds to the Spectrum 360 radio program in the coming weeks. But we are definitely on social media with a strong presence on Facebook and on Twitter. And remember, we have more than actually just one website on Facebook. You have the Spectrum 360 radio program. We also have Spectrum 360 Media, which is the general site for media from Spectrum 360 Media. And then we have Spectrum 360 Video as well, where we concentrate on posting still photographs and video. So those are three, count them, three Facebook websites that you can find Spectrum 360 content on Facebook at this time. And also remember Twitter, of course. And co-host TK Weeks, can you give us an update on the video that I posted that you then reposted?
Yes. Mark did take a video of Nina Turner, who gave an amazing speech at the People's Summit. She's always inspiring. And he posted a portion of that video on Twitter, and last I checked, it had over 7,000 hits. So that's amazing. Nina Turner is having a moment for sure, and so is the People's Summit.
Yes, very good. I'm very happy to see that video has been so successful. We were a little bit surprised at how fast it took off, although I expected, since the People's Summit has drawn a lot of attention to the event itself and to the issues that were discussed there and the people that participated, we did expect to get a lot of attention, especially with Nina Turner, because she is she's an absolute star, a rock star, if you will, in the progressive movement now on the left. So,
and you'll be posting the whole video once you get back to Tampa Bay as well, and it's well worth watching. She preaches it. She gets out into the crowd, and she fires everybody up.
Yes, absolutely. So we will be spending a lot of time this week posting media on Spectrum 360 Media website, on Facebook, on Twitter, and elsewhere from the People's Summit Conference. Spectrum 360 created a huge amount of media over the weekend.
Lots we got Bernie, of video, too.
Lots of still photographs, and we'll be getting to all the highlights of the People's Summit Conference in segment three. But let's go to a commercial break for 60 seconds to pay some bills, and then we'll continue right after this break with segment one. Thank you.
This is Mark Skogman, host of Spectrum 360 and the TAN Talk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a political talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via podcast at TANTalk1340.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, politics from a progressive point of view.
We take care of our own. Wherever this flag's flown.
Make sure you tune in to the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area on Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5, The Sports Web. It's the evolution of sports talk radio because we treat the fan as if they're a superstar. We give you your own walk-up music, we let you call in twice, and we don't hang up on you like those other sports talk shows do. So make sure you tune in to The Sports Web on Saturday afternoons hosted by Peter Blake and Sean the Sports Don every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 on the TAN Talk Sports Network.
Well, yes, the Sports Web. Remember the Sports Web. Our good friend and engineer for tonight's program in the studio is Peter Blake, of course. And I want to remind our Spectrum 360 listeners that Peter Blake is also the director, the head of the non-existent Spectrum 360 Sports Department. Now, recently he was fired because he had this strange fixation on the subject of animal abuse. So he's no longer the head of the... He's no longer the head of the non-existent sports department, but since it's not existent to begin with, it's not really an issue, is it? It's a joke. It's a joke.
It is a joke, and I'll tell you right now, just to give you an update here, it's game five of the NBA Finals. Right now, Golden State is winning 98-93, but already there's some... uncalm fans out there in Golden State or Oakland right now because they think the same thing could happen that happened last year when Golden State was up 3-1. They're up 3-0. Cleveland, of course, won the other night, and they're staying in this game. So hopefully Golden State can close it out so we can stop this nonsense about LeBron James being as good or as great as Michael Jordan.
Not.
Well, if we talk about sports on the Sports Room, you just cannot bring any nonsense. That's well known all over Tampa Bay. Don't bring nonsense to the Sports Web.
There you go.
Okay, let's get to segment one before we get too silly here. Remember, I'm extremely sleep-deprived, so I'm not responsible for my actions for this one program only. Okay, is that agreed?
It's agreed.
Okay, co-host TK Weeks is going to lead this segment. Segment one with the news summary from the last week and beyond. Whatever we think is important from the last week, we try to give you the highlights so we can condense some of the elements of breaking news over the last week. And, you know, ever since Donald Trump was elected president, it seems like the news is just increased exponentially.
There's too much news.
Yeah, exactly. That's put it very, very succinctly and very... very simply, yeah, there's too much news. But we still try to keep up with it. So, co-host TK Weeks, I believe you're going to start this segment with some information about the Pulse nightclub shooting, which actually today is the one-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida, that happened on Sunday, the 12th of June, 2016.
We definitely can't ignore the fact that this is the one-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, and I know that a number of events took place in Orlando to commemorate that, and I think there was a service here in St. Pete as well. But, Mark, you had some thoughts on the Pulse shooting, didn't you?
Yes. As I was traveling today, I've been doing a lot of traveling from Chicago, Illinois, back to the Tampa Bay area in Florida. and I've been doing a lot of interstate driving. And one of the things I like to do when I'm driving is to sample commercial and non-commercial radio across the country as I drive. Now, people who know me know that I'm a big fan of National Public Radio, and especially their morning and evening news programs, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered. They're excellent news sources, which I've been monitoring, and I've been a fan of these since 1975, believe it or not. And I was listening to All Things Considered this afternoon, and they had coverage of the one-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. They sent a producer and a reporter back to Orlando, to the area that the Pulse nightclub is located in, and they did interviews and a one-year retrospective, and it was very moving, and I found myself with tears in my eyes, and I'm actually choking them back right now, trying to prevent myself from crying, so which would possibly stop my speaking on the radio. And it was very, very moving coverage. It just reminded me how profound that incident was. That was the worst mass shooting in the modern history of the United States. 50 people killed, 49 victims, plus the gunman himself, Omar Mateen. 23 other people injured, but not dead. And there was very moving coverage. And it was interesting because people have the perspective of a one-year anniversary now. So what happens in these kind of situations is, as time progresses, people are able to deal with speaking about it much better sometimes, in some cases, than they are when the event happens itself, because they're so traumatized. And a lot of times the trauma will lessen over time, so that they can be interviewed and they can think about what they actually experienced that day. And it was just amazing. They had interesting stories. There was one of the surgeons that saved people's lives in the hospital there, in Orlando, that was woke up at, I think it was 2 a.m., middle of the night, and he had a five-day-old newborn baby that had just been born. And 5 days into his new child's life, he's in the hospital in the middle of the night, and it was just incredible, the scene there. Many nurses came in and worked in areas of the hospital that they'd never worked in before. They were improvising. They were mopping blood off the floor. It was just a mass effort. The hospitals in Orlando had never experienced a situation like this, and it was so moving to hear what they did to save people's lives, and it's difficult for me to even talk about. And I recommend people check out that coverage of National Public Radio, because that was some of the best reporting on this anniversary that I've heard today. It was just very, very moving, and I can barely even talk about it without getting emotional myself. And so that was one thing I want to recommend to people. And TK Weeks, do you have any other information?
Well, I have something that just kind of amazes me in light of what today is. Tone-deaf Republican gubernatorial candidate and current Florida Secretary of Agriculture, Adam Putnam. Now, he's a guy who's long touted Florida's status as the number one state for concealed weapons, and he brags about his efforts to make that system even more efficient for consumers. Today, Adam Putnam says, "You can run a government like a business and save money and deliver value to people who make government possible through your hard-earned tax dollars, and we've proven that. Florida is number one in concealed weapon license holders, people lawfully exercising their Second Amendment rights." Hardly something to brag about on a day like today, I think. I'm just astoundingly tone deaf on Adam Putnam's part. In other inappropriate news, among the 16 measures that Governor Rick Scott signed into law on Friday was one that makes a significant change to Florida's Stand Your Ground law. Effective immediately under SB 128, prosecutors will now have the burden of proof. They will have to prove in Stand Your Ground cases why a defendant can't claim immunity from prosecution under the Stand Your Ground claim. So that makes it easier for defendants to claim they were standing their ground, puts a higher burden on the prosecutors. That was legislation that was 2 years in the making, supported by the NRA, vehemently fought by prosecutors. So really kind of a sad commentary on Florida politics today, I think.
Yes, understood.
On a more positive note, though, today is also Loving Day. It is the 50th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Loving versus Virginia, which
squashed
state miscegenation laws and ruled that restrictions on interracial marriage were unconstitutional. So a day of great tragedy, but also the anniversary of a great day of celebration.
Yes, understood. And any other segments you want to add to this new?
I do, actually. I want to report on this because we talked a little bit last week about Trump's pulling out of the Paris Accords, and I mentioned some bright spots in that maybe other governmental entities could take up the slack. Well, more than a dozen U.S. cities have banded together to post deleted climate change information and research from the EPA's website that notoriously was scrubbed by the Trump administration. In May, Chicago was the first city to host the deleted pages, and now other mayors are following in Chicago's steps by creating their own Climate Change is Real website. The website contains information. I love this. It contains information on the basic science behind climate change, the way weather is impacted from increased greenhouse gas emissions, and actions the federal government has taken to reduce the impact. According to a statement from San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee's office, the page was launched on Sunday to ensure that the public has readily available access to research information that the EPA has developed over the last many decades. Deleting federal web pages does not reset the scientific consensus that climate change is real, Lee said. The American people are entitled to the publicly funded EPA research on climate change. And while the federal government continues to undermine the progress we've made on climate change, cities are taking a stand. Some of the 13 cities that are posting the EPA climate change information are Atlanta, Georgia, Boston, Massachusetts, Chicago, Illinois, Evanston, Illinois, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Houston, Texas, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, New Orleans, Louisiana, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Portland, Oregon. So way to step up cities.
Well, that's great.
I love that. Like I said, we can make this pulling out of Paris irrelevant if local, state, and state governments, county governments step up. A really bizarre cabinet meeting took place in Washington, D.C. today, and it started out by going around the table with each cabinet member saying something to praise Trump. Vice President Mike Pence started out. He said that the greatest privilege of my life is to serve as vice president to the president who's keeping his word to America. Chief of Staff Rince Priebus said, "We thank you for the opportunity and the blessing to serve your agenda," and so on and so on. Trump, who loves nothing more than ego stroking, of course he loved it, and he even saw fit to praise himself. He said, "I will say that never has there been a president, with few exceptions, in the case of FDR, he had a major depression to handle, who's passed more legislation, who's done more things than what we've done. We've been as active as you can possibly be in just about a record-setting pace." This is despite the fact that Trump has yet to sign any major legislation or that his White House has been rocked by legal and ethical questions about his relationship with Russia, the firing of FBI Director James Comey, among other things. But heck of a job.
That is just bizarre. These statements from these cabinet members and Trump himself, I've got a simple formula on how they decide on what they're going to say. They take the exact polar opposite of what the truth is, and then they state that falsely and totally misrepresent what's happening in this administration, what they're doing. Basically, I'm just going to editorialize here just briefly. There's only two things that the Trump administration has done that are positive. One is stopping the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He was right about that. In the same way,
even a blind squirrel can find an acorn
twice a day, he was right about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. President Obama was wrong. The supporters of the Trans-Pacific Partnership were wrong, and that was stopped. That's the one positive thing that's happened during the Trump administration so far. And the other one was the effort by VA Secretary, Veterans Administration Secretary David Shulkin, to start consolidating medical records for veterans and to update the record-keeping system so that there are electronic records that systems that are compatible with each other so that they can communicate with each other and greatly increase the efficiency of record-keeping and the accuracy of record-keeping, which should greatly assist in veterans obtaining health care from the Veterans Administration. Those are the only two things, in my view, that have been positive about the administration. And just to quote John Boehner, John Boehner has is of course the former U.S. House of Representatives Speaker before the current one that we have right now, Paul Ryan. And what he said was he likes and thinks there's positive things that President Trump has done with foreign policy. I disagree with that, but he did say that he thinks that President Trump has done some things positive in terms of foreign policy. And then he said domestic policy has been a, quote, complete disaster, unquote. I have to agree with that. I don't want to, but if I'm going to be honest and give an honest, accurate assessment of this administration, that's what it is.
No major legislation.
Yes, exactly. So let's take one more break, and we'll come back with segment two, and that'll be the future events calendar in 60 seconds. Thank you for listening.
Make sure you tune in to the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area on Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5, The Sports Web. It's the evolution of sports talk radio because we treat the fan as if they're a superstar. We give you your own walk-up music, we let you call in twice, and we don't hang up on you like those other sports talk shows do. So make sure you tune in to The Sports Web on Saturday afternoons hosted by Peter Blake and Sean the Sports Don every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 on the Tan Talk Sports Network.
Check out the Revolutionary Road radio show every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tan Talk Network. TanTalk1340.com. You can listen to us online, or you can also check us out on YouTube at the Revolutionary Road radio show, sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture. Don't forget, every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tan Talk Network.
Okay, and Spectrum 360 is back from break. And now we're going to go to segment two, which is the future events calendar. And this segment is led by co-host TK Weeks. TK Weeks.
Okay, tomorrow, that's Tuesday, June 13th at 6:30 at the main branch at the St. Petersburg Public Library, 3745 9th Street North. The League of Women Voters is having a general membership meeting. There will be news on their current programs and activities, followed by a program for the Defend Our Democracy Ordinance that's currently before the St. Pete City Council. That's the ordinance that wants to get money out of politics. If you are not a member but want to be, the general meeting will be preceded by a new member orientation at 6 p.m. That's at the main branch of the St. Petersburg Public Library. Wednesday, June 14th at 6 p.m. at the Ale and the Witch. 111 2nd Avenue Northeast in St. Pete. The Center for Biological Diversity and the Friends of Tampa Bay Wildlife Refuges are holding their monthly environmental education program. This month's topic is transportation and its impacts on wildlife and health. Also Wednesday, June 14th at 5:30 at Love Food, 2057 Central Avenue in St. Pete, there's a fundraiser for St. Pete mayoral candidate Jesse Neville and City Council District 6 candidate Akili Kenyon. I apologize if I mispronounce that name. That's 5:30 Wednesday at Love Food. Thursday, June 15th at 5:30 at the Sunshine Center in St. Pete, 330 5th Street North, the SEIU and the People's Budget Review are hosting the People's Forum. They'll be presenting the results of the People's Budget Review Survey, which will provide an insight into where residents want their money spent, their tax money spent locally. People will be able also to engage in dialogue with all the candidates for the District 6 race. There's like 100 of them now, I think. And hear them respond to how they will be supporting the people's agenda. Also Thursday, June 15th, in Tampa at the North Tampa Branch Library, that's 8916 North Boulevard in Tampa, there's a Summer of Resistance community meeting. They will discuss plans for a summer of resistance in Tampa Bay. That's at the library on North Boulevard and Bush across from Chamberlain High School. I'm not quite sure who's sponsoring. It looks like it's a Fight for 15 event from what I could tell.
Summer of Resistance, I believe that's being sponsored by Greenpeace, but I'm not.
Is that a Greenpeace?
Sure.
Yeah, I saw from some pictures from Fight for 15, but I'm all for resistance. So whoever it is, if you're around in Tampa, you should check it out.
And both are great organizations, so whoever's sponsoring that event, whatever organization it actually is, it's well worth attending.
Absolutely. Saturday, June 17th, 10:30 at Sunken Gardens in St. Pete, 825 4th Street North. The County Extension is conducting a Florida-friendly landscape class. You can learn how to garden in a way that is healthy for our environment and easier, and how to grow plants for our specific climate here in Florida. Also Saturday, June 17th at 2013 Greenbrier Boulevard, 2013 Greenbrier Boulevard in Clearwater, there's a community film screening of The Future of Energy. It's a film that focuses on two communities and how they are adapting to climate change, and it also highlights broader citizen movements for clean energy, showcasing especially how the youth are leading the way. It's an opportunity to learn about how you can make the transition, to hear about the Sierra Club's Ready for 100 campaign, a nationwide effort urging cities to join the clean energy campaign. Start out with a social at 5:30 p.m. Snacks will be provided by Nature's Food Patch. The film starts at 6 p.m. and is going to be followed by a short Q&A session with James Scott, the Ready for 100 organizer for Sierra, and Alan Brand, the Solar Shepherd. So, again, another week of great events coming up in our area.
Well, great. TK Weeks, thank you so much for the future events calendar. Let's take one more break, and then we're going to come back with the final segment of Spectrum 360 for this week for Monday, the 12th of June, 2017. That's segment three, and that's our review of the People's Summit Conference. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Thank you for listening.
Check out the Revolutionary Road Radio Show every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tantalk Network. Tantalk1340.com. You can listen to us online, or you can also check us out on YouTube at the Revolutionary Road Radio Show, sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture. Don't forget, every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tantalk Network.
This is Mark Skogman, host of Spectrum 360 and the Tantalk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a political talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via podcast at Tantalk1340.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, politics from a progressive point of view.
We take care of our own.
I just love that Bruce Springsteen song. And I think that's something that we should all remember, the lyric of that song. We take care of our own wherever this flag is flown. I get emotional just thinking about that.
I think that's what America should be, indeed.
Yes, absolutely. And Bruce said it very well in that song. That's why I use it on the Spectrum 360 radio commercial, because it's a great lyric.
I got to give you an update here from the non-existent sports department here. 118-106 with about 5 minutes to go. Kevin Durant tonight, 39 points for Golden State as they are leading Cleveland right now. If Golden State wins this game, they win it all. The big enchilada, the NBA Finals, they are the champions. So right now, 118-106 over Cleveland, 4:50 left in the game.
Ooh.
Wow, they're probably going to win. With a lead like that, with that amount of time left,
you would think so.
We will win. Yes, I do think so. And I'm such a great predictor of who wins sporting events. So you've got to listen to me, right? right. Oh. I'm kidding. Okay, on to segment three. Enough sports. Segment three: the Spectrum 360 review of the People's Summit Conference, which was conducted this last weekend. It was Friday, the 8th of June, Saturday, the 9th of June, and Sunday. No, I screwed those dates up. It was the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Excuse me. So the summit conference took place in Chicago, Illinois, at the McCormick Place Conference and Convention Center. And my gosh, if you've never been to the McCormick Place, I have to prepare you for it, because the facilities there are huge. I mean, the facilities are so big and there's so much there. You could probably fill a stadium with these convention facilities.
It's equipped to handle, you know, multiple, I think three or four, you know, conventions or trade shows at any given time. It's huge.
With space and capacity for thousands of attendees in each of the, exhibit halls, exhibit hall A and B, where I was much of the time, they're just absolutely huge. You don't even use all the space, and you can have several thousand people in there. It doesn't even take up all the space in just one of the exhibit halls. And the architecture is beautiful. They're wrapped around each other. There's a hotel that's also integrated into the complex and parking. And it's a well-done facility, although it's so big, you end up walking a lot just to transport yourself from, say, the hotel to the exhibit halls to the rooms where you, for smaller events when you're not doing the large group events. It's just amazing how big it is. So it's very impressive. Also can be very expensive, unfortunately. And we stayed at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and co-host TK Weeks was there for Friday, and then I arrived Saturday morning, and then we both attended the Saturday events and the Sunday events until the People's Summit closed Sunday afternoon. And just overall, this is a high-quality conference. It was very well run with some exceptions. It was not perfect.
Nothing ever is.
It wasn't perfect, but it was very well run. It was good. It was excellent. It was very inspiring, very educational, and just a great time to discuss the state of politics in this country, the state of the progressive movement, and what we need to do now, especially during the administration of President Trump, and the resistance, and all topics related to those general categories. And it started on Friday with Progressive Democrats of America meet and greet, and then it went on to the regularly scheduled sessions. There were four different sessions, and they alternated, and then they were repeated. So if you went to one session, you had another opportunity to go to another session of the four. And that was repeated in the afternoon. And then in the evening, co-host DK Weeks, remind me what happened after those four different sessions that repeated in the afternoons when we got to the evening events.
The evening events on Saturday, you mean?
Friday.
On Friday? Oh, gosh. We had speakers in the big Ari Crown Theater, which is attached to McCormick Center. That they do a lot of big concerts and plays and whatnot there. We had speakers, including Joy Reid, who spoke later in the event as well, very inspiring, Roseanne DeMauro. I can't even remember the speakers now. There also was a showing of a film that talks about the history of movements and the future of movements that I couldn't even stay for because I was so exhausted at that point. I'd gotten about 4 hours sleep and had been running around the convention all day. It's also a great opportunity for networking and connecting. There are about 4,000 to 5,000 people at this event. And
yes, at least 4,000.
A multitude of groups were represented, from the Progressive Democrats of America to the Green Party to Food and Water Action to Reclaim Chicago, Unicorn Riot, the independent media people, Young Turks.
Haymarket Books.
So it was a great time to kind of cross-pollinate, talk to other people, see what they're doing, steal their ideas. Always a great opportunity for that. Talk about what's working with what they're doing and what's not. And really just incredibly stimulating event. I still haven't really quite come off the high from that.
Yes, and then all 3 days, of course, there were booths set up for various communications, media, and political organizations. The great online magazine, The Intercept, which was co-founded by Jeremy Scahill, Glenn Greenwald, and others, was represented there.
As was The Guardian.
As was The Guardian newspaper from the United Kingdom. Also, Free Speech TV and The Real News and The Young Turk.
Yes, they were there.
Yeah, it was great.
Joy Reid has
so
a show now.
Too.
Joy Reid has a show on the Real News Network now, and they actually filmed it there at the convention. They were filming her show. A lot of the
No, I think you're thinking of Nina Turner.
I'm thinking of Nina Turner. What am I saying? Yeah, Nina Turner, and they were actually filming her show there at the conference. A number of them, Young Turks and a few of the other video media places, had kind of little studios set up with lights and everything, and were doing interviews and broadcasting live from the event.
Yes, and there are also booths for Our Revolution, which is the the ongoing political organization for supporters of the Bernie Sanders for President campaign. It's basically an analog of what the campaign workers that elected and then reelected President Obama. They had an organization that supported President Obama throughout his presidency, including the two elections. And this is the Bernie Sanders version of that same type of organization.
Although it's a little unlike President Obama's organization, which really didn't, much to a lot of people's dismay, seek to build grassroots power and do some bottom-up organizing and support candidates in other races. Our revolution is all about building grassroots power. I actually went to one of the breakout sessions, which was a training on what's going on with our revolution. They are encouraging candidates to run for local offices at all levels, you know, from city council, school board, county commission, you know, all the way up. On one hand, they're looking for progressive candidates. On the other hand, they're working on issues. And the goal is to get a set of issues. Not one set either. They're encouraging local groups, form local groups of 10, even 10 people, get an agenda of issues, and then go to the candidates, find the candidates that support your issues and help move them forward. So it's a very interesting model. I think that Obama's organization was a lot more top-down oriented. This one is seeking to do it the opposite way.
Very good summary of that. And then, of course, there was a film that was screened Friday night. Will you remind me what the title of that was? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I'm sorry. I can probably find it quickly.
Well, while you're doing that, let's move to Saturday. And Saturday was the fullest day. Basically, Friday gets the conference started, and people arrive, and there are definitely events and sessions, but it's less heavily scheduled than Saturday. And Saturday is the main day where there's a very heavy schedule. It starts early in the morning at 8:30 and goes. The events for this particular day, for this particular conference, the 2017 version, lasted until at least 12:30 a.m. And actually past that until about 2 a.m.
Yeah, actually, I've got the name of that film. It's Waking the Sleeping Giant, the Making of a Political Revolution. And
yeah,
as I said, I did not stay to see it because I was exhausted, but I did stay to see the introduction to the film because it was given by the great Bill McKibben, environmentalist and founder of 350.org. He was one of the main people that were there.
Yes, I'm so sorry that I missed that. And next year, I will be there for all 3 days, if at all possible.
And also on Friday, we had a lot of speakers. The theme of the speech on Friday night was From Resistance to Power. Because a big theme of this conference is it's not enough to just resist. We're not going to just get out there and say no. We are going to positively and proactively put forth the progressive agenda and work for it. We had Jim Hightower spoke that night, the great populist from Texas. Dallas Goldtooth, one of the indigenous people who was at Standing Rock. The Honorable Chokwe Lumumba, the new mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, progressive African-American mayor. Jane Sanders. How can I forget Jane? She spoke that night, too. They have just founded the Sanders Institute, which is a progressive think tank. Nina spoke that night. So Friday was a great night, too. But Saturday was the big day.
Yes, and that started with some lesser-known speakers speaking from 8:30 to 9 a.m. to start the day. And then at 9 a.m., there was a great panel discussion about democracy and preserving it and independent media. And the panelists, I want to remember all of them, Amy Goodman, of course, the host of Democracy Now!, one of the co-founders of Democracy Now! On public radio, one of the editors of the Nation magazine, Katrina Vandenhoevel, and, oh, my gosh, there were just so many.
Naomi Klein, best known for her book, The Shock Doctrine, but she's got a new book out now called No Is Not Enough, Resisting Trump Shock Politics and Winning the World We Need. And she, too, is talking about, you know, not just saying no, not just resisting. It's more than that. She says we need to use this crisis to not regress and not just give up. We can choose to be, as Reverend Barber puts it, the moral defibrillators of our time and shock the heart of this nation to build a movement of resistance and hope. Surprise ourselves by being united, focused, and determined, and refusing to be afraid. I'm reading a little bit from her book doing that, which I got her to sign, so I'm very excited about that.
And also the great actor and activist Danny Glover, who still lives in his old neighborhood in California, the one he grew up in, was there as well, and he contributed his insights as well. That was a great panel. I've got a great video of it.
And you've got to take a look at this video. Fascinating panel of media people. Amy Goodman impressed me in particular with her passion and her courage. This woman is fearless. She will do anything to report the truth.
Yes, I do. One of the things that was negative about the People's Summit Conference, which I have to be honest, I am critical of, was the fact that Amy Goodman was speaking about the importance of independent media from the stage, and was very passionate about it, and she does this frequently. This is one of the main topics that she speaks about in public, whether she's a panel discussion or an individual speaker herself doing her book tour speeches, which she does all across the country, which I tried to attend one of her speeches to this last book tour that happened in April and May, and was unable to this year. But she was there talking about the importance of independent media, and at the same time, the independent media that was working there, including myself, we were just not provided the proper facilities up close to the stage. There should have been a riser there so that independent media that were videographers could have proper access and angles and everything to the panels. The videos that we were able to do are just somewhat compromised just because of the location that we were put in, the fact that we did not have a riser to get up off the floor so we could do the very best versions of these videos. So that was very inadequate and unfortunate and, I think, stupid oversight by the part of the organizers. And then the other thing was that, because of social media and technology and the Internet, journalism has been democratized, and the line between a professional journalist and a semi-professional and an amateur journalist, but those lines have been blurred, and it's now not just three categories, but a continuum through those three categories. So you have professional journalists such as myself, you have semi-professionals, so-called citizen journalists that maybe they're full-time or part-time. Maybe they're paid or unpaid, combinations of those things. And then you have the absolute amateurs that are doing social media to support these events. And they're important, too, because no one person has the same exact social media circles that another person has. We all have our own unique social sets of friends and spheres of influence and people that we know.
And one of the things the panel talked about was the importance of nurturing independent media and alternative media and telling our own stories.
Yes. So there were people that were clearly amateurs there with their cellular telephones, with their smartphones, that wanted to do short videos and do some still photographs, and they were coming up close to the front of the stage and then kneeling down and doing a little bit of work with their digital cameras, with their smartphones, et cetera, obviously taking a still photography and video photography to use in social media, as I do myself in my work routinely. And these people were harassed by other members of the audience that were close to the stage, just simply because they were sometimes obstructing the view of some of the members that were sitting close to the stage in the chairs in minor ways. And they were sometimes prevented from doing that at all. And if they did succeed in starting, they were harassed. And that was absolutely wrong. I condemn that. That should not have happened. And what I found just ridiculously hypocritical was the fact that Amy Goodman, while she's speaking about these issues and exactly what we should be doing, this, which was diametrically opposed to her message, was happening not more than about 40 feet away from her, where there were amateurs and some professionals, and even some professional journalists were being suppressed in their work because there was disorganization there and inadequate facilities, and that is just wholly, completely unacceptable. I was greatly angered by it. It was the one thing that I thought went wrong the most at the conference, because the conference is wonderful. It's great. I was very inspired by it. But being up close there by the stage when Amy Goodman was talking and having problems even myself with security and setting up my video cameras and actually doing my job, I find that to be a failure and a big mistake and a problem, and I have to criticize the conference for that one aspect that was a big failure, especially on Saturday. Now, it
yeah,
wasn't
but getting
so bad,
back to some of the speakers that we had on Saturday, Van Jones, the great activist who was briefly affiliated with the Obama administration, he spoke. He pulled no punches in his criticisms of the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign in particular. He said that the Clinton campaign took $1 billion basically and set it on fire. And then, of course, on Saturday was the big event. At 7 p.m., the keynote speaker, Senator Bernie Sanders, who
yes.
tore it up like he always does.
Yes.
And I have never seen as much energy in a room as I saw. I have not seen Bernie Sanders before. So, Mark, you may have seen this kind of energy before when you've seen him, but I hadn't, and I was amazed.
Every time I've seen him. I've seen Bernie Sanders give a speech in, three times in person, and they've been very well attended. And the attendees, the audiences are always very energetic, very enthusiastic, and the atmosphere in these Bernie Sanders speeches is just electric. It's just intense. It's that kind of movement.
And again,
there's that much passion.
Yeah. And again, he talked about, you know, he said, yes, there's some negative things here, but again, the focus was, you know, not on negativity, not on just saying no to Trump, but on saying yes to what we want. On working hard to push forward a full progressive agenda of free college tuition, of Medicare for all, of, you know, taxing corporate transactions. He thinks that this is the moment, and this was kind of the theme of the conference, for the progressive movement to move forward and not be afraid to ask what they want, because this is a transitional time. A lot of people are very responsive to our platform. Even people that may have voted for Trump, actually, Bernie is convinced that when you actually talk about the issues, well, don't you want to get some health care? We can get a lot of consensus.
Yes, he was very positive, and it wasn't just all negative, just all anti-Trump. It was a pro-progressive agenda as well, and the time to work on achieving results for American people and improving our country is now and always. And that was one of his points. It's always the time to work to make the country better, to solve the problems that we have. And it was very, very positive. He was funnier than I've ever seen him speak in person, too. It's just, he had just great lines. He's just very relaxed and very passionate. And, you know, he's self-deprecating. And he just had, it's not like he's a comedian and he has one-liners. He's just inherently funny in the
And so modest again,
and the little one-liners, and then the way he makes fun of himself in a fun way. It was a very funny speech. It was received as such, and then it was also received. The serious parts were received with such passion by the audience. There was whooping and hollering, and people standing up with banners. It was like it was 2016 all over again.
It was very moving. And Bernie, again, remains a modest and humble person. At one point, everybody's chanting, Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. He said, no, it's not Bernie, Bernie, it's you.
Yes, exactly. That's precisely what he did do. And that was just so great. His speech was introduced by Roseanne DeMauro, who's the head of the National Nurses United Union, of course. And then after the Sanders speech, as good as that was, there was another event that was excellent, too. There were several people, approximately 15 people, that came out on stage. And basically, they told stories from American history, important, eloquent, short speeches from times in American history by important people. And they were read by these people that came on stage to reenact these moments in American history.
It was called The People Speak.
Yes, The People Speak. So a person would come up and they would read the words, a speech from another person from American history. And there were so many people that were covered. Some of the participants in the readings, one of them was Jesse Eisenberg, the actor who played Mark Zuckerberg in the film The Social Network. And I was a big fan of that film. It's a very interesting film. And there he was in person. And just a regular person, and he presented two of the segments, the reading segments, And there were a number of other people there, too.
Frances Fisher, a fairly well-known actress. Melissa Leo.
She played Rose's mother in the film The Titanic. Titanic from, man, it's almost 20 years ago now. That famous film by James Cameron. She was there, and so many others, too, more than we've got time to list. And they were just great speeches from American history. The Chelsea Manning sentencing.
The speech that Chelsea Manning gave to the court at her sentencing, which was quite moving.
Yes. A speech by Frederick Douglass from the 1800s, and just on and on like that. Important moments in American history. It was very moving, very interesting, and I'll be posting segments from that over the next several days. We're going to post a lot of media, still photographs and videos from the conference.
And I got to mention, too, are you going to mention, it wouldn't be a People's Summit without a film by Josh Fox, right?
Yes, exactly. We've got to wrap up here because we only got a couple minutes left for the program. But, yes, Josh Fox introduced this new film, Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock, which is about the Standing Rock Indian camp and the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline. Very moving film. It was done as a cooperative effort with a number of filmmakers and editors, and it was a great film. And that went until 12:30 in the morning, and then Saturday night was the dance party after that.
And we're going to get Josh Fox on the show.
Yes. He should be on this program next week. We'll have more information about that as the week progresses. And then, as well, there was so much else that happened on Sunday. We really don't have time to cover it this week, but there are other excellent panel discussions with Thomas Frank, who wrote the book Listen Liberal, which has gotten a lot of attention over the last year, and just so many others that we don't even have time to list here now. So we want you to come back next week for Spectrum 360 so that we can continue our coverage of the People's Summit Conference. We'll be doing that over the next few weeks. We're going to have a lot of audio from the videos that we recorded. So many important segments, so many important events, just a wonderful conference. It's going to be great. And next week, we will have Josh Fox on the program so that we can finally get the interview done, which I've been trying to schedule with him for about a year. he graciously agreed to be interviewed on Spectrum 360, and I'm just so happy to have him. Of course, he's the producer and director of Gasland 1 and 2 about fracking in the United States, and also the great film from last year, How to Let Go and Love All the Things That Climate Can't Change. Just a wonderful filmmaker, very gracious in person and humble, and just a great guy to know. And he's been very, very active over the last year. He's been a great activist. So come back next week for more Spectrum 360. We'll have that as content, and it's just going to be great over the next programs. We're going to share so much from the People's Summit. This has had a major impact on both of us personally, and we want to share it with you.
And Pete's saying we got to go.
Benefit of it. Yes. So that completes this week's program, a preview of next week's program, and the next several. And we want you to listen to Spectrum 360 next week. Thank you for listening.